This is episode number 15 for Stay Happily Married, Creating More Intimacy.
Welcome to Stay Happily Married.
Happily Married. Happily
Married. Your source for weekly updates on the latest tips and advice to build a happy and healthy marriage.
Today's episode of Stay Happily Married is brought to you by the Rosen Law Firm. For more information, visit us at rosen.com.
I'm Lee Rosen. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I'm here today in the studio with Sherry Hughes, a certified life coach and hypnotherapist who has a private practice in Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you, Sherry?
I'm great. Thank you.
Now, Sherry, if I understand correctly, you work with individuals and with couples working to help them create a better life personally, professionally, and spiritually. And you have techniques that help clients overcome stress, anger, and other blocks that affect their lives and marriage. Do I describe your practice pretty well?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, how long have you been practicing?
I've been in practice for about 12 years, and I see a variety of clients. A lot of them has to do with wanting to make their relationships better through either in marriage or wanting to date and get married, or just struggling with relationships professionally in their work world. And so I work a lot with people in their relationships.
All about people getting along with people.
Absolutely.
Right. That I have a lot of people living in my house, and it always makes me want to just go be by myself. Relationships are a lot of work.
They are a lot of work, but worth it.
Worth it. That's what they tell us anyway. Right? So you're well equipped. The topic today is creating more intimacy, and it sounds like that's really your special thing. That's what you focus on.
Yeah, it is. And I find a great deal of enjoyment in working with couples and helping them through the struggles and realize that there is an easier, softer way to live together and to make each other's lives, more happy and manageable, and the life together as a couple, certainly more intimate and lovable.
Well, now, let me ask you, when I would assume that the longer someone is married, the more intimate you become, that over time, that the intimacy grows. You think that's a fair assumption?
No, I don't believe so. I think people need to be taught how to grow intimate over time. What I find that the daily frustrations of life and work and children and outside interests kind of takes a toll on a lot of marriages. And basic communication skills aren't always taught when we need them. And it's sometimes after the fact that we learn these things. So that's one of the things that I do is teach relationship skills and, better communication skills to draw couples closer together.
So do you sort of feel like the longer we're married, the more life takes over and that we really get, distracted? And I mean, do you believe that? And B, I'm wondering if you think that's a big cause of marriages failing.
Yeah, I find that, time often plays a toll on marriage instead of enhancing it. And it is a lot of the outside distractions. I don't think anybody sets out intentionally to do that, but then they wake up one morning and realize how distant they are from their mate and how unsatisfied they are. And then they don't know what to do about that. They don't know how to make it work from there. So that's when outside help is really valuable for these couples.
Do people try? You say they don't know what to do. Are there sort of common things that people try to do that don't work?
Well, unfortunately, when it gets to a place of complete dissatisfaction, I find that one or both of the partners look for happiness outside of the relationship. And that's when it definitely becomes a power game and a struggle. And it's hard to get past that. So that's one of the kind of last resorts, but I do see that often. Some of the other things they try is being nicer,
right,
but usually being nicer at a resentment level. They do it kind of out of frustration than real heart's desire.
Right.
And so it's not done for the right reasons. But I do find, I'm trying to be nice to him. And he just, they're both at a pretty high resentment level. So they have to work through those resentments first before, that nice level can be effective.
Now, when you say people start looking for, happiness outside of the marriage, are we talking happiness, like affairs and that sort of thing? Are we talking certainly. Golf and
No, I think infidelity
lessons?
Is a really? Big part of that.
Yeah. So they feel like lack of intimacy, I need more in my life.
I need somebody to understand me.
Right. And so one thing leads to another, and here we are.
Yes.
Well, first of all, how do folks come to you? Is it usually one spouse showing up, or is it the couple showing up? How does it usually happen?
Well, usually when it's a marriage, it's both showing up, because within a marriage, you know, if that's the problem, I certainly like to work with both parties to get the full effect of what I do. And if one person kind of learns new skills and the other one doesn't, it really creates an imbalance even more. So I certainly like to work with couples. If it's somebody that's divorced or just dating and not in a permanent relationship, then certainly I will work with that one individual and try to help them discern a little bit more about what they want and what they're looking for and heal some past hurts.
Do you get into situations where one spouse comes in and says, I really want like my husband to come, but he won't come?
I think that's happened occasionally. What I do, then I call the husband himself and invite him in for one session by himself or with his partner. And I usually try that before I'll give up on him, you know? Because, you know, sometimes the wife may just say that, you know, you don't always know how much effort she put into that.
Right.
So I'll invite him in for just a session. Please show up. I'd like to hear, you know, what's going on with you and tell me your side of the story.
And do they usually come?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Okay.
They rarely turn that down.
Right. So now when you have the couple with you, And you're going to help them through these issues. Let me ask you, first of all, are we talking about weeks, months, years? I mean, I think a lot of people, when they think about going to see a counselor, they think, oh my goodness, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. Is that the case?
No, certainly not the rest of their life. But I do have a minimum. I like to see clients at least 3 months, because I think it takes that amount of time for healing to occur and forgiveness to occur, and then to learn new skills on top of that. So that's my minimum. And then I go from there. If they still feel they need some assistance, I, you know, will certainly work with them past that. But from my experience, it does take a minimum of 3 months to get the full effect, to really make, you know, lasting results.
Now, you've used the term resentment a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about resentment for the lack of intimacy? Is it people that are upset that things aren't the way they want them to be? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times it's unspoken resentments. They can't quite verbalize what's wrong, but they know something's wrong, or they're not quite happy with their partner, but they have a difficult time to describe that, or they may be really angry and have a resentment, but don't know what to do with that. So that's one of the areas that I work on them, being able to verbalize what's wrong, what doesn't feel right. And then, okay, how do we make it different?
So now, do you have an idea of the steps you're going to go through with them right from the beginning? Do you have a general sense of how this is going to...
I usually do, yeah. I usually follow certain procedures. And, you know, just from doing this for so long, I have certain exercises that I take couples through and worksheets that they work on themselves and that type of thing. But I'm always open to the individual couples and what they're looking for, you know?
Right. Do you think that is working through the intimacy issue and dealing with this resentment, is it possible to do that without the help of someone like you? Or do you really, is it too hard to do without a third party being involved?
Well, I sometimes think they get to the point where it makes it much more difficult to work on your own, because it takes somebody standing back from the situation, non-emotionally involved, to see the real true picture. And when you work on issues like this yourself, you're still caught up in your own resentments or your own emotional needs. And it's hard to see where each other is, you know, to blame, or what you need to change in yourself. So I think it's more difficult without an unbiased third party involved.
So what do you do with people that come to you? How do you help them through these issues?
Well, I have a lot of techniques that I use. I first try to get them to recognize what the issues are. You know, why is there lack of intimacy? Why haven't you been working on this? What led you to this point? You know, and try to get them to really look at the situation. And then from there, you know, I do worksheets with clients. I'll send them home with worksheets to bring back for the next session of, you know, tell me how you feel about this and what's working and what's not working. And one of the things I often do is try to focus on the good in the marriage, you know, right. What is still working and what is still good about being together.
Now, you have an idea about steps, like 10 steps that you work with. Am I right?
Yes, okay. I do.
I've been looking at your website and getting information. Tell me, walk me through what your first of all, what are the 10 steps for?
Well, these 10 steps is what I've gained from working with my clients, the experience I've learned through them of what works and what doesn't work, and the couples that I've seen turn their lives around, and what was most effective. So I put together these 10, they're 10 suggestions, I guess, and not everybody's going to incorporate them all. Some will find some steps more usable than others, but I think the more you use them, the more effective the recovery in the marriage can be.
Well, we have time. Let's walk through the 10 steps. I'd very much like to understand them better.
Okay. Well, the first one I would say is just purposeful communication. And just take the time to create a space in your life to understanding yourself and your partner at a higher level, not just the resentment level, but a really deeper, more intimate level.
I sometimes think that, especially men anyway, that we just sort of believe that our spouses are supposed to understand us and we're supposed to understand them. And what you're saying, I guess, is that it really has to be more deliberate.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's one of the fairy tales we want to buy into. You know, well, if he loved me, he would understand me. And that's not true.
Right.
He still probably loves you dearly, but the communication is missing.
We don't understand you at all.
Well, that may be true too.
What's number two?
Forgiveness. And it's one of the greatest tools to use in creating a loving, healing bonding between two people. And it's a great opportunity to operate from that unconditional love. I find a lot of times people need to forgive themselves first and then forgive their spouse next.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's interesting because I feel like everywhere I turn lately, I hear forgiveness. That is maybe almost a trendy thing today, but it's been around forever.
It has, yeah. And that unforgiveness is really what creates the resentments.
Right.
Unspoken, unacknowledged, and then people are just naturally angry at each other.
Right.
And the other usually doesn't even know why.
Right. Well, and I love your not just forgiving others, but forgiving yourself. That sounds pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is, tremendously. And that will affect all your relationships in life. Being able to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Suggestion number three. What is that one?
Have some fun. You know, we get so tied into being serious and how bad things are. But I think creating common interest, whether it's taking walks together or a hobby or a sport, is very significant in a healthy relationship.
Right.
And just providing these, you know, times for joyfulness, playfulness, just to hang loose, you know, and not have to work on anything.
Well, and everybody is so busy today running from here to there. And then when they're not busy, they're watching TV or
there
playing on the
go.
Computer. Yeah. Like,
and I think the having fun part is also really important in having a good sex life together and enjoying each other on that intimate level is something that we only share with a partner or a spouse in life. And it creates that relationship to be more special.
Right. What's the next one?
So then we go to suggestion four, and it is developing a spiritual life together. And this may sound kind of trite, you know, but it's not that you have to have the same beliefs, but being able to honor each other's beliefs. But the more you can have similar beliefs, it does draw you together in a more of a bonding way.
Okay. And then that's number four. What's number five?
And I think this is really, really important, is honoring the difference between a man and a woman. And oftentimes we think because a man doesn't do this, that he's insensitive or he doesn't care. And I know men feel the same way about women. Well, she's too needy or she's too this. And we have to learn that that's part of the dynamics of being male and being female, and to honor that and just know that it's not, nothing's done vindictively. It's just who we are as individuals.
Appreciate the differences.
Appreciate
not,
them.
Not
Absolutely.
Let them build more resentment. Interesting.
Absolutely. And then I think there's also a very synergistic effect in marriage. When two come together to work together and to co-create, it makes it stronger than you are as individuals. And I think that's really important to remember as you move through life together.
Now, I know the next one is be your partner's best cheerleader. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's supporting your partner on the day-to-day struggles, you know, work, kids, just being there for each other. Be a support unconditionally. And you may not agree with, you know, the solutions or what's going on, but each other has to know that you're there for each other too.
Right, right. Good advice. And what's the next one?
Trust and honesty. And that sounds a lot more easy than, you know, it really is. I think the honesty part in particular, we tell people enough of what we want them to know, but we don't always tell them the full story. And I think that is very damaging in a marriage.
Right.
We have to be willing to put ourselves out there to let the other person really know us in a very non-judgmental way. And I think it's really, really important to do that.
Now, we have made it through your first seven. I'm now anxious to get through the last three and hear what you have to say about them. Number eight, what is that one?
Well, that one would be maintain some self-identity. Have time to spend with your girlfriends, with your guy friends. Have time to, you know, read on your own or take walks by yourself or things that you find enjoyable without your partner necessarily being a part of all that. And I think that away time makes the together time much more special.
And number nine?
And I think viewing the relationship itself as a separate entity from each other. So you have the husband, you have the wife, and then you have the relationship. And focus on what is best for the relationship, not each other as individuals, because that will change your decision-making process.
Good advice. Now, and the last one, number 10.
And I think this is important also. You need to take personal responsibility for your own life and your own happiness. You can't expect a partner to make you happy if you're not happy with yourself. And not to always look for him or her to bring that into your life, you need to do that for yourself first.
So now how do these suggestions play into your role when you're working with a couple?
We get to a place in the coaching that these skills and suggestions are introduced. Initially, I just try to observe what's going on and make them aware of the situation. And then we start talking about how to make it different. So you can't change it if you don't recognize it.
Right, right. Got to figure out what's going on before you can really make it
sure do.
Better.
And they come in often not knowing that. It sounds, you know, like that's something they should know, but they don't always. They may have different ideas about what's wrong or not working or who's at fault.
Right. Well, I think people get so bogged down in the daily situation, and like you say, the resentment, that they mm-hmm. really lose sight of the larger picture pretty
Absolutely.
Much completely. I mean, I think it's fortunate that they're able to get themselves together enough to come and talk to someone like you, because I think that's a huge, you know, a huge step, that it's awfully hard to figure out that that's what you need to do.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Yeah. I suspect we have a lot of people listening today that, you know, they wouldn't, I wouldn't be listening to this show if I wasn't worried about my relationship. I don't know that, unfortunately, I think that's, people look at a site like Stay Happily Married, and I think everybody ought to be listening, but I think the uh-huh. reality is the people that listen are the people that are worried.
That are in trouble, right.
Yeah, so I think that's good, but I think it's still another big step to come in and see someone like you. If you were, you know, if you're talking to someone and you know they're struggling with their marriage, they're not happy with things the way they are, and they're listening right now, you're speaking into their ear right now. What do you say to them? What is the step that they should take next in order to make a difference in their lives?
Well, the first thing I would say is just trying to get a clearer picture of what's wrong. And I also will offer to the listeners a free 15-minute consultation by phone So if any of the listeners just want to talk about where they are or how I could support them or, you know, who would be able to support them, I would be happy to speak with them. They just need to call my number, 919-272-1454.
And I'll put a link to that, I'll put that information in the show notes, and,
okay,
as well as a link to your website.
Great.
So someone could arrange with you and do a free consultation. And I guess you would really be able to say to them, well, I can help you, or I can't help you, but here are the names and numbers of someone.
Here's some resources.
Right,
yes.
Right. Oh, that's
absolutely
terrific. Now, do you have a website also that you make available to people?
I do. I do. It's www.thejourneybeginswithin.
Okay. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Now, my review of your website, what I noticed is that you have a report that you can download. The top 10 secrets to happiness. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that's different than what we're talking about here.
It is. It's more about that personal happiness, how to find that within yourself. And it's certainly things that you could share as a couple too, but it's designed more on a very, very personal, intimate level with yourself.
Well, Sherry, I really appreciate you joining us. I feel like you've given us some good advice and some good things to be thinking about and working on. I'm very pleased that you were able to take the time and come and join us in the studio.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Well, and a special thank you to Sherry Hughes, and also a special thank you to all of you that have joined us today and are listening. I hope that you've taken some things away from this program on creating more intimacy that you can put to work in your relationship. Again, you can contact Sherry. You can call her office directly. And as she mentioned, she has a 15-minute consultation that you can have at no cost to you. The number at her office is 919-272-1454. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you will join us again next week. If you have comments about this show or any show, we would love to hear them. Feel free to call our listener comment line at 919-256-3083. And the email address for comments is comments@stayhappilymarried.com. Until next week, stay happily married.
Thank you for joining us today on Stay Happily Married.
Happily Married.
If you'd like more information, please visit us on the web at stayhappilymarried.com. We would love to hear your feedback or comments. Please email us at comments@stayhappilymarried.com or call us at 919-256-3083. Until next time, best wishes.